Oh, the heavenly flow. Oh, move in power, let the river flow. Sometime back, and this has been a few weeks back now, and we had shared this a little bit, but it's interesting, it comes to mind just this morning. I've noticed I moved this podium thing, whatever, up and down, up and down, up and down. And it's been down here for a season or two for some time. And then about a month or so back, I don't know why, I'm in here on the week, you know, Monday, Tuesdays, Wednesdays. I'm in here by myself, just me and the Holy Spirit, I guess, you know. And I took this thing, and I thought, well, I'm going to change it up, and I'm going to move it here and take it up there and speak to the people from up there. And I think I did for a week or two, maybe a week. I don't know. It didn't last very long. And then that following week after that Tuesday or Wednesday or Monday, after a Sunday service where it was up there, I was in here doing some arrangements and stuff, and I just went up there, picked it up, and said, I'm going to put it back down here. And then about a day or two later, we were talking, and I was talking to a person here in the church, and she had shared with me about some of the previous ministries of what God was doing at the time, and I think God's word to this person was like, well, it's because he's in the river. He sensed it that the river was going through here. And I was in the river at the times that I was ministering at times down here. I thought, wow. I said, well, so you just heard that like sometime this past week or whatever in her time of prayer and sensitivity with the Spirit. I said, you're not going to believe this. And this was like on a Thursday, I think she was sharing this with me. And I said, well, you're not going to believe this. But after we're done, on a Thursday, I think Bible study time, I said, you need to go down there and see where I moved the pulpit again. And I had moved the pulpit like on a Tuesday prior to her telling me that, prior to whatever this is happening. And it's like, well, that's very interesting that in the Spirit, God was telling her that the ministry and all, it's not me. The word I share is not me. Any power I have is not of me. It's through that of God and the Holy Spirit flowing through me that I'm just an oracle, like any of you are, that we are just the mouthpiece of something even greater. Amen. And so for me to be down here and some of the messages, I guess they were good messages. It's like, well, God gives them to me and I want to share them and I feel like mostly they're for me anyway, but you guys happen to be able to listen in and it's a whole lot easier when there's somebody here that I'm talking to than just me in here by myself talking to myself. Because if somebody were to come in here, they'd say, you need to be committed. I go, I'm having a church service, man. Hey, I had fun at those times in COVID. When I was down here, I was preaching by myself. I was the only one here, but I was looking at people and talking and waving and all. It was crazy by myself here sharing the Word of God. But when the Word of God is in you, when the power of the Holy Spirit is in you, you can't stand still. You can't just stand here and go, I want to make you all happy today and read from the Word of God. And let you know that as excited as I am, you too will be this excited. Hallelujah. And there's times I get excited up here and I'm looking for you guys like, hey, join into this train I'm on with the Holy Spirit, you know. And there's times I look out there and some of you are going, really? So it's just me and God. But I think that's what a lot of it is with God. It's a one-on-one personal situation. And I am blessed and humbled and honored to be used by God to stand here because I have no ability. I have no knowledge of a whole lot. Other than reading his word and just saying, how does this fit my life? What is it, Lord, that you want me to use out of this into my life to bring honor and glory to you? I just want to serve you, God. Anybody here just want to serve God? Forget the world, serve God. Well, you got to keep your job in the world, but serve God even in your job. Amen. You don't have to just, it's on Sunday I serve God and on Monday I put him in the closet. Don't do that. He doesn't want to be in the closet. He's going to be knocking on your door. Oh, so the flow. I want to speak a little bit about that towards some scriptures today. About the water and the flow and the river of God. Amen. The river of God. There is no better place to be than to be in the river of God. I've been in the desert. Not fun. Dry. Thirsty. But I want to talk about the river. And that's an important part of our walks, guys. Where you are at today It's vitally important to know, where are you at in his river? We have too many people that are wonderful, loving Christians, people we love. I feel a lot of them are sitting on the banks of his river. For whatever reason, whatever has happened, I don't know, but they just want to get on the bank of what God has. And maybe every once in a while, put a little toe into the river. Oh, that feels good. They feel good a little bit. They take it out, and they sit on the bank again. But to really experience God, we've got to get into the flow. You've got to get into where he is at. You got to jump in, amen. Many of you already know that I am fearful of water and river. I will not jump anywhere that I can't touch bottom when I stand up. So it leaves me pretty limited as far as doing a whole lot of water activities, you know. But I just don't really have a lot of excitement for water. But I do have an excitement for the river of God, though. Because I know that's where my God is at. And I know he won't let me drown. Amen. And as we're in his river, he's there to refresh us. He's there to fill us. He's there to put all that he has for us into us. And the most important part of that, and we'll get to that, I do believe, is the filling of the Holy Spirit and how Jesus spoke of that. But anyway, let's start this. Let the river flow, let the river flow, flow. The course of a river is the route that the river takes. The quantity of water in a river is called the flow. The quantity in that river is what's considered as the flow of that river. The quantity of God in your life is going to adjust and make your flow mediocre, over the top, non-existent, whatever it might be. But it is your allowing what quantity of God you want in your river to what he's going to perform that. Many of us want just a slow flow of God. Maybe in the beginning of my walk with him, I was kind of like that because I didn't quite understand him. But as I got more into his word, I found out that the more I was in his word, there was much more of God for me. How about you? And I began to understand that God was a loving, caring, grace, mercy-filled God. And he loved me no matter what. And that I could turn to him and go to him. Even if I turned my back on him, I could still go back to him and he would be there. As I repented and asked for forgiveness and said, I need you more now, Lord. Help me understand these things. Take over more of my life. The quantity of water in a river is called the flow. The quantity of God in your life is what you're allowing the flow to be for you. I don't know about you, but I want to stand under an open spigot of heaven and say, here I am, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. Because as you know through life, just like that in the natural, if you don't stay in water, you get dry. We know that by looking at our lawns, that our lawns look pretty doggone dry because there's been no rain. And so what are we going to do? We're going to maybe artificially do it by a sprinkler. And that works good. But guess what? You got to keep sprinkling it. Piece of cake. I understand it. But we go into God's scriptures, and he has a lot to say. But I want to look at just a few that speak to that of God's river. Amen? And so let's go on a little journey. Psalms 36:8. In Psalms 36:8, it speaks of, in the very beginning, man's wickedness in God's perfections. Am I telling you anything new? Man's wickedness, but God has perfection. You can be in the beginning of 36, and it talks out, an oracle within my heart concerning the transgressions of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes. He flatters himself in his own eyes. This is man. I'm talking about the wickedness of man. The words of his mouth in verse 3 are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He even devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. But then I get into verse 5. Psalms 36:5. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. Sounds refreshing to me. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. More than any time in history of the day we need, as we need, amen, more light in this time that we live, in this such darkness that's around us. And then it continues on, oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you and your righteousness to the upright in heart. So we look at verse 9, with God is the fountain of life. Fountain of life. It's a vivid image of fresh, cleansing water that gives life to the spiritually thirsty. This same picture is used in Jeremiah 2:13, where God is called the fountain of living waters. Jesus spoke of himself as living water that could quench thirst forever and give eternal life. The flow of God's water, the fount of God, it's there for all of us to receive it and to flow in us and to be sure that you stay in that flow of him. Amen. Now we're going to move into Psalms 46. We're just going to kind of trail along here, and I hope I can get back to where I really want to. Well, it all ties together, so let's just keep walking. Amen. Take your shoes off. We're going to walk through the river, okay? In Psalms 46, God is the refuge of his people. We got people today going through so much, and they don't know how they're going to handle it. They don't know how they're going to deal with it. They don't know how they're going to come through it. We have got a refuge for them if we just get in contact with them, just build a relationship with them, build a relationship with those on the outside of the kingdom of God so that you can share what God has done in you and the water that's in you and the living water in you, so that you can share to someone that is dry, parched, that's going through difficult times. It speaks of that God is the refuge of his people. There is a river that whose streams shall make glad the city of God. Now, when we look before that, it speaks of roaring things and being in trouble. So let's look at Psalms 46. It starts out, Psalms 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Sounds like a rough time happening. But then in verse 4, what happens? There is a river. Everybody say, there is a river. Amen. Whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of hosts is with us. So let's look a little bit of that in Psalms 46. Just before these verses, it speaks to waters roaring and being in trouble. If you look at this and the words referenced and preferenced around, Jerusalem had no river, but it had God. Amen. How many here have God? Amen. You may not have the river, but you got God, and in God there is a river. Jerusalem had no river, but it had God, who, like a river, sustains the people's lives. I don't know about you, but I've looked back over my life at times, and I've seen where God has sustained me. How about you? Through all kinds of things. And it doesn't necessarily need to be very, you know, majorly major problems. It's just that through situations, I've looked back and I've noticed that God has sustained me. As long as God lived among the people, the city was invincible. But when the people abandoned him, God no longer protected them, and Jerusalem fell to the Babylonian army. That gives us things to think about. We've looked at in scriptures many times in the Old Testament where God did miraculous, wonderful things for the people. They were joyful and happy and pleased and shouted, hey, hey, God, all right. And then 2 days later, they were bemoaning God, didn't serve him, didn't follow him, put other idols before them. You name it, they did it. Just like today. Go figure. But when those things happen and we put other things before God, don't be surprised when you have problems. Now, I'm not saying God is doing that to chastise you. I'm just saying that there are things that we do, folks, and I've shared this with some people, when they've been just totally living in a situation that was not pleasing to God, where I said, I believe at this point in time you've taken the hand of protection of God off of yourself. The provision of God, the umbrella of God, because he cannot sustain a person in a situation to that point that they're disobeying what God says to do or not do. That'd be foolishness. How could he do that? If that's the case, he'd say, well, I don't care. Just everybody have a good old time down there, and I'm still going to be your God, and I'll take care of you, and you can turn your back on me, and you can have other gods, and you can have this, and you can have that. That's okay. I'll still be your God and take care of you. That's a lie. The Word of God tells us these things. And so we've got to be aware of these things and guard ourselves. And I'm telling you again, this is for me. That I've got to watch myself and guard myself, because I can fall into any one of those things just as you folks can. And if you think you don't, the devil's telling you a big lie, and that's called pride. And when I can say I can handle it, God can, I can handle that, no way, I'll take care of it. God's not going to, you know, blah, 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 blah. That's when that old pride gets in there, and pretty soon you're dealing with it. But throughout God's Word, he gives us these things to be aware of and to guard ourselves with. And then when we go through situations and sometimes, and it's like, well, what happened? It's like, well, where did you leave God? Now, I'm going to tell you, you can still have God and still have troubles, amen? Anybody have God and troubles? I do. I'm not saying it's a piece of cake, okay? But I'm just saying this, guys, you need to search yourself personally. You need to get a hold of God and let God get a hold of you by that of the Holy Spirit to speak into your spirit to say, where did I screw up, God? Where did I mess up that I've caused you to turn away from me? Because you can't look at sin. You don't want to deal with that. You've dealt with the sin in my life when I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and my sins were cleansed from me. That blood of Christ is still cleansing my sins of today as I repent and remember to do what? Go back to that cross and remember what Jesus did and then say, I need forgiveness again, Lord. He's there for that. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying it to us that want to play a little bit with God and a whole lot with the world. Or we only give God enough of our attention when we think it's convenient for us. And then when we don't think it's convenient, we go, well, God will deal with it. He'll know. He'll know. Didn't that song say something? He'll know my heart. You know, or I've heard people say that. And I've had this to the people. Well, God knows my heart, even though they're maybe out in a strange way. Estranged. And I said, yes, he does. He knows your heart. But I said, here's the question I got for you. Do you know God's heart? If you know God's heart, I tell you what, you don't want to hurt him. When you know the heart of your loved one, when you know the heart of your spouse, you don't really want to just all one day say, you know what, I just want to hurt them. I just want to be a pain to them or whatever. No, you love them. You are taking care of them. You want to stay on their good side, especially if you're married, on the good side. Woo! Hey, hallelujah, Lord. But I want to stay on the good side of my God, not just because I can get stuff from him. I've said this before, salvation. Once I receive that, I don't know, there's not much more that I need from God. But he's a blessing God, that he blesses us. And I've had a rich life. I have been blessed. My kids, my family, my situations. It doesn't just go to me. I see blessings extended into parts of my family or out throughout my whole family. And they all have to take that walk themselves. They're not getting into heaven on dad's or grandpa's coattail. I'm not saying that. But it's by the times of serving and following God and not understanding. But I see the hand of God. I see the hand of God on this church. And you know what is wonderful, guys? It doesn't take a church service. It doesn't take a congregation for me to be in the presence of God. It doesn't take you to come to church to be in the presence of God. You're in the presence of God wherever you are at. And with me, I love it because I got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's three of us plus me. And we have fun, and we talk, and we pray, and I sing, and I laugh, and I cry, and I think, and I... But it is good to be with God, amen? And it is good to come into a time of corporate fellowship. Nothing like corporate fellowship. God loves it when his children comes together, whether it's 3, 5, 10, 150,000, whatever the case is. He loves it. He loves it. But just as Jerusalem had no rivers, it had God. Just because you don't have a river, you got God. And God is that river. And that river is in you by that of the Holy Spirit in you. Amen. And let's find out where we go with this. But we need to look at this a little bit. In contrast, in a footnote here of 46:4, in contrast to the raging environment, there is a peaceful river of supply. I know, looking around here, several of you, you've got a raging environment taking place. But I also know that you have a river of supply of God that's available to you, and that you're walking in it, I'm pretty sure, to bring you that life, that help, that strength. So in contrast to the raging environment before verse 4, okay, as we talked about it, there is a peaceful river of supply in God's sanctuary that produces life. God is all about producing life. Jesus says, I come so that you can have life and have it what? More abundantly. So God is into life. God is into living. God is into building people up, into making things, into increasing things, into just, you know, just let God be God. Let him build himself in you even more and more and more. I want to now jump into Ezekiel. Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel 47 talks about the healing waters of God. Aren't you glad that God has healing waters? And the great thing about it is it's not necessarily that you got to have physical water splash on you. It's that spiritual water in you. How can you be tired and exhausted but take time with God and just worship and pray? Nothing else, just worship and praise him. And all of a sudden, you become revitalized again. All of a sudden, you feel like, I don't feel the tiredness. I don't feel that anxiety. I don't feel that oppression or that worry. I don't feel anything that this world has put upon me. I feel a refreshing from the throne of God into my spirit to take on another day. In chapter 47, it says, then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside of the outer gate that faces east, and there was water running out on that side. And when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. He measured 1,000 more, brought me through the waters, and it came up to my knees. And again he measured 1,000, and he brought me through it, and the water came up to my waist. Again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. And when I returned there along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. And then he says to me, this water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed and everything will live wherever the river goes. How many here need a river? Yeah, we all need the river. I want to read a little bit of footnotes about what this is saying, okay? The sacred river from under the threshold of the temple flowed to the east. Four times the water is measured at increments of 1,000 cubits, and the river rises, we talked about, to the ankles, to the knees, and to the waist, and finally to a depth too deep to cross. Allusions to this river are found in other scriptures. There's a strong connection with the river of paradise back in Genesis. The trees along the bank of the river provide abundant fruit all year long in Amos. Now, such prophecies which relate the flowing waters of blessing may also anticipate the Holy Spirit's work and the New Testament believer. See, that's where we're at. I'm not back in the Old Testament. I'm kind of like we talked about the New Testament church. We're in the New Testament. We're in the New Testament times. We're after that of Jesus has come and died. He's at the right hand of God the Father. He went there and he sent what? The Holy Spirit to come, to fill us, to lead us, to guide us, to teach us. Father, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. But isn't that great? The flowing waters of blessings may also anticipate the Holy Spirit's work in a New Testament believer. We are not alone. You are not alone. God's not here physically with you. Jesus is not here physically with us. The Holy Spirit is here with us, by the Spirit, with our spirit, talking, communicating, guiding us, leading us, teaching us, strengthening us, having a party with us, the joy of the Lord, hallelujah. I tell you, about the only way you're going to have the joy of the Lord is to have the Holy Spirit in you. And then we have a party. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Spirit. So now we're looking at that, so let's keep moving here. I want to go to John 7. In John 7, 37, 38, John 7, 37, 38, talks about, in this little couple of verses here, the promise of the Holy Spirit. This is all, ladies and gentlemen, regarding the flow. Let the flow of the Holy Spirit, let the flow of God's water, the river. Remember, the course of a river is the route. The quantity of water in the river is called the flow. I don't know. I don't have enough God in me yet. How about you? I want more. I don't know how much more I can handle, but I'm willing to take it as much as he wants to give it. More of the Holy Spirit, Lord. And I believe there is much more. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. God speaks to me and shows me things in the spiritual realms. He teaches me and shows me these things. But there's still much, much more that I need to glean from the Holy Spirit. And it only comes by way of being with him, listening to him, and wanting to be with him, giving him rulership of my life. Oh, Father. So it says here, the promise of the Holy Spirit. So this is, Jesus is speaking along these lines, and we begin to find this out here. And he says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he did what? He cried out. He says this, if anyone thirst, let him come and drink to me and drink. For he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Those who are satisfied by Jesus will themselves, listen to this. Number one, who here is satisfied by Jesus? Those who are satisfied by Jesus will themselves, this is why it's important. If you're not satisfied with Jesus, here's the problem, my friends. They will become channels of spiritual refreshment for others. It's not about you. It's about me. No, it's not. Why do I need to be here? You need to be here because other people are looking and wondering where you're at, and then they're going, where are they at? I don't know what happened. We need to be here to support one another, to encourage one another, to pray for one another, to have the Spirit of God fall upon us as a corporate body so that we can help one another. I'd much rather help others than, because I know when I help someone else, there's a blessing coming from God to bless me. But I don't do it to bless me. I just do it because I want to provide God to someone else and his encouragement and his joy and his strength and his love and his mercy and his grace. And it's not because I'm special, because he can use a donkey if he needs to, right? He can use the rocks if he needs to. He can do anything he wants, but I am glad to be counted in that area of his army that I said, God, work through me. Grow me up, teach me, minister into me, Lord, fill me, let there be a fountain of water flowing into me, Lord, so they can flow out to others. Don't you ever hear people say, I hope, if you hear any sloshing going by, it's only because I'm full of the Spirit of God and the water just keeps coming out. You know, squish, 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 squish. But with that of God, it's a good thing because it's like, oh, fill me to overflowing, God. So it can benefit others. But here it is. Those who are satisfied by Jesus will themselves become channels of spiritual refreshment for others. The figure of rivers contrasts with that of a fountain. Yeah, go back. This is what I thought I skipped. 4:14. In John 4:14, talks about, remember that? The Samaritan woman meets the Messiah. 4:14, and Jesus says to her, whoever drinks of this water, that of the well, they'll thirst again. But in verse 14, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. That's that salvation, that fountain. Jesus says, you will never thirst. Take the fountain, take the water that I've got, and you will thirst no longer. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up. In him, a fountain indicates that living water as a great illustration of regeneration into an everlasting life. So that's that fountain he's talking about. He's talking about that of a fountain of life. And then we get into 7:37, and what happens? On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink, and he who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow fountains of water, rivers of living water. But in verse 39, but this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not been glorified. This is just pre the Holy Spirit to come. John interprets the words of Jesus to refer to the pouring out of the Holy Spirit that was still to come. The Holy Spirit existed from all eternity, but was not yet present in the sense indicated. Soon, the fullness of the Spirit would be a blessing that all of God's people could experience. Have you experienced it? Have you? I hope so. Gosh, if you haven't, before you leave today, come up here. Let's pray. Let's ask, invite the Holy Spirit in. You've got the fountain of life in you, everlasting life, but get into that river of the flow of the Holy Spirit to come in. Thank you, Lord. So here we'll end at this place. Go to Acts 2. I ended up with this morning as I was kind of reviewing this here a little bit and what I was wanting to share about. But here in Acts, we know that's where Pentecost came, right? That's when the Holy Spirit came. And in, you know, Jesus said, don't even go anywhere until you get the Holy Spirit. See how vitally important the Holy Spirit is? And that is even for today. Amen? Don't even try to go out and witness without the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. Because you go out there on your own and somebody's going to ask something and you won't know it and you'll say something or you'll misdo something and it's like, oh, wow, did I make a mess of that? Now, God will bless your heart for trying, but I think even to today, it's why it's so important to have the Holy Spirit in us. Because I'm going to tell you what, there's times that the Holy Spirit says speak and there's other times the Holy Spirit says to shut up. Anybody been there when the Spirit says shut up? How many here have passed that and kept going? I got a few amens on that. And then I'm back at the altar. Oh, Lord, why did I keep going? Oh, Lord, why did I keep going? I've always said this to people, and I think it's something that's built within us, as God has put in us even before the Holy Spirit, but we got this thing within us. How many people ever come up, or you even yourself have said when you went to somebody and says, you know, I want to tell you something, but I don't know if I should. Anybody been there? Somebody ever said that? You know, I don't know if I should tell you this or not, but here's what I want to tell you. You should have shut up, because you just caused a problem. That is something that is really built within us of God. I truly believe, even before we come to salvation of God, there's DNA and parts of God in us because he breathed into us and he made man. So we've got parts of God in us. And we've got some parts that are there that they just need to be unleashed. And they're unleashed even better by that of the Holy Spirit. See, God has put these things. This is just me talking now, because remember, I don't know nothing. But God has put stuff in us automatically. But we don't know to tag into them and plug into those things. We get salvation. That's good. Hallelujah. I'm going to salvation. I'm going to have eternity in heaven. But then when I get the Holy Spirit in me, it begins to activate different parts of my apps that God has in me. Anyway, we all know about apps, right? Get a new cell phone. No, don't. Yeah. We just love frustration. And then you got to get all these new apps and reload these apps. And these apps are different than the apps that belong to an Apple. They look different than on an Android thing. But it's kind of like the same thing. But the pictures don't look the same. I don't know. It's a confusion thing. But with us and God, God is in us. God is in those people in the world that are lost. They have something in them of God. Because it speaks in the scriptures of God where it says, in the Spirit, woo them. I testify to that because I was wooed by the Spirit of God. And connections started to connect. And different things began to plug into my spirit by that of the Holy Spirit. And sensitivities to this and understandings of that and learning about that or whatever the case might be. And that happens to all of us here, I believe. But the thing is, you got to allow the Holy Spirit. You got to ask, dear God, I want the Holy Spirit's leading. Fill me with that river, not a fountain, but a river into me of that of the Holy Spirit. The quantity of water is a river is called the flow. I can never have enough of God. The more God, the more flow. Amen. And that's the same, I believe, for all of us today. So anyway, as we wrap this thing up, We found out that in Acts, you know, that's when it all came about with that of the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, in verse 2, I want to go to 33. There's a lot of things to read there going through a lot of that. But in verse 33, Acts 2:33, therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. He poured it out. Jesus says, I must go so that he can come. Jesus says, don't you go until you get filled. Wait for him in that upper room in Jerusalem. And then once the Spirit came, it filled that room. Once that Holy Spirit came, the people went out. Once that happened, the church was born. The times of going out and sharing, the going out into different areas and areas of the countries over there, they began to share that of Jesus, and the church was being increased. So we come all of this to this. Let the river flow in you today. Let it flow in you every day. Amen. But I encourage you to get into the river. I encourage you to ask the river to come into you. I encourage you to be there with the Holy Spirit. Oh, Father, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. As we close, is there a prayer that you would... I want to just pray, you know, for the filling, the infilling, the river of God to flow in us. I want to pray for the river of God to be in the sanctuary when we are here. I just want more of God. I hope you want more of God. I hope you desire that. Live for that. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, as we come to the closure of this, it certainly is not the closure of you working in our lives. It certainly is not that of, well, we're done for the day and we're going home. I pray right now, Lord, for those that hear today, that, Lord, they want an even more of a flow of you in their life, that river to be in them even in a greater depth, in more quantity, Lord. So that flow of you is greater in their situations. And I thank you right now, Lord, that is just the simplest of us just saying, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Pour more of your Holy Spirit in me. Refresh my spirit, I pray. Allow that, Lord, to come about this day. Touch us, Lord, in a most new and just in a surprising way, Lord, that we maybe have not even experienced before, Lord. Let there be a freshness and a newness to that of the river of God, the river of you, Lord, in our lives this day. I pray, Lord, spiritually, that we walk out, we will be sloshing water in us, Lord, that we are just going to be filled with more of you and less of me, hallelujah. We thank you, Father God, right now, as you minister this into our spirits. As I pray this for Harvester's Church, Lord, I pray for a mighty river to flow through this sanctuary, to flow upon this ground here, Lord. Many times I have claimed this, Lord, that this is your kingdom here upon this earth. Lord, I am a kingdom child. I'm one of yours, Lord, in your kingdom. And I thank you, Lord, right now for this place, these acreages here, Lord, to be that of your kingdom property. And I do pray for more of your river, more of your anointing, more of your touch upon each and every one of us, I pray. Oh, I thank you, Father, right now. And Lord, I pray for this week ahead for each and every one of these wonderful people here, Lord, that you will be going before them, leading them and guiding them, strengthening them, keeping them safe, keeping them healthy. Be their provider, Lord God. Meet every need that they have. I pray, Lord, that we too become more and more in tune to you in our service to you and your kingdom. And I pray it in Jesus' name right now. Amen.